We're very thankful this afternoon to have each and every person on the call, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. We encourage you to be obedient to God and be baptized for the remission of sins that Jesus has commanded. You'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. He adds you to the Lord Church of the Bible, that be the Church of Christ. And so we hope today you do that. Do just that. Run in obedience to Him and become a member of the Lord's Church that you may make heaven your home. And we welcome those who are brothers and sisters from other congregations joining us via conference call. Thank you so very much for being on the call. This evening, I want to do a follow-up to this morning's sermon where I talked about God gives us a thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 12, the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 7, "At least I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of revelation, there were given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." And so this evening, who gets this grace? Who gets this grace? Peter said, God giveth grace to the humble. God giveth grace to the humble. If you didn't even listen to that show this morning, I talked about how Paul said he didn't want to be exalted. He had to lower himself. And God put this thorn in the flesh. You go ahead and listen to that from this morning lesson. But this afternoon, who gets this grace he's talking about? Only those who are humble. That's the answer. Now let's look at it. Let's look at the text, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. This is Apostle Peter. He said, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, take it oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Now fulfill the lucrative of a ready mind. Neither as being lords of God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." He's talking to elders. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," talking about Jesus himself, "you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." In verse 5, he said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another." And there it is. He said, "And be clothed with humility." Why? "For God resisted the proud and gave it grace to the humble." That's what Anthony looked at. He gave it grace to the humble. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So what is humility? Humility is a self-denial, a giving up of self-confidence and self-will. Humility is recognition of the supremacy of God. It's being modest. It literally means a low mindset. It's an attitude that one is not too good to serve him. In Bible class, we talked about this morning, the responsibility of Christians to serve. And we talk about people who would serve. Our God, but Mike Foreman, had a wonderful job. I'm going on and describing the whole body as parts, and every part has a part to play. And I asked the question, what would be the motivation for others to serve, to really have this, to serve? He said, attitude. What attitude? The attitude is that of a servant, a lowly servant. Those will be the people who will sign up for ministries, who will work wherever they need to work, because they see themselves as nothing but servants. So it's an attitude and a love for God is the motivation. And the key to being able to serve, you got to be clothed, as Peter said, with humility. Now that word clothed right there in the original language was often used of talking about a slave. Will put on an apron over his clothes in order to keep his clothes clean and identify him among those he was serving. The apron identified him as the lowly servant in the house. To be clothed literally means to tie something on oneself with a knot or bow. Therefore, what Peter's saying, and this is the answer to the questions in the Bible class, who's going to sign up for ministries? Who's going to serve? Why did Jesus say the harvest is plentiful and labor is a few? Because not everyone will clothe themselves with humility. Those will be the people who won't sign up. Those will be the people who will sit on the pew and not serve. They're not using their talents. But when they clothe with humility, they understand I'm already in the state of mind that I'm nothing but a servant, a slave to the Lord. Therefore, I serve wherever I can. So there's a special portion used here in the word clothed with humility. It's really talking about the attitude of the servant. He or she has an humble mind. So the sermon this morning, the Bible class, and this is all tied together. And, we talk about it like that, but as I said, I start thinking everything I'm talking about, it all ties together. And so it's a wonderful thing how God allows His Word to help us. So we're getting ready to do some sign up for ministry, and there's going to be some changes in the ministry sign ups that we're going to be doing, naming the different ministries, you know, spiritual needs ministry, where you're developing young men to become elders, allow men who are not elders who desire to serve, that those men will be serving as nothing but shepherds and slaves. That's what elders are. And they'll be, and then the second one, the spiritual works ministry. That's what the deacons are. They're nothing but servants, slaves. So then we have that in ministry, and then the spiritual education ministry. These are teachers. What are teachers doing? They're serving. They're slaves. They're serving. Teachers are going to be serving. Elders are going to be serving. Ministry, evangelism, spiritual soul saving ministry. It will be made up of those who want to serve in the area of preaching or teaching or preaching and sharing the gospel and evangelizing, bringing in souls to be baptized. So where the service of the ministry that we talked about with the spiritual needs, it'll be men who love to help the sick, love to serve, men and sisters love to serve the senior citizens, serve those who are in need, those who have lost loved ones. But we've seen it at the last funeral, all those servants were in there. They had tiles. All of them were had the state of humility. We served him who had lost the loved one. That's what that's for. So I just named those. And one of the other ones we're talking about is the spiritual stewardship ministry. We often call it, because that truly what it is. It's a serving in the area, submitting to stewarding. Taking care of the family. So here we are. We're looking at these type ministries where it's the people who will put their name on the table, on the page, on the sign-up sheet, are looking for where they want to serve and where they want. So if you love helping the seniors, you're going to want to be in that spiritual needs. If you love working around the building and doing things like that, you don't need to be in the spiritual works. If you love teaching, you don't need to be in the spiritual education ministry. And so if you love just baptizing people, you need to be in the spiritual soul saving ministry. So now you find your place, but there's something got to go with it in order for it to work for you. Since here that we're talking about it, these people that we're talking about who are going to be clothed with humility, and God's going to give His grace to them, and they will pause to take this thing away from me. I don't want this. No, it's going to do something for you. I'm gonna leave it there. This thing, take it away. He begged the three times. He prayed to God. Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient. So as long as Paul stayed in the mind of a lowly servant, God would send grace his way. I recall a time when I was going through a very difficult time. So I said, when somebody was talking to me kind of rough in there. So I said, but we didn't say anything. I said, why you didn't say something? I just said, well, I'm just waiting on my grace. See, sometimes you got to be the floor mat in life in order to get the grace God gives. You got to let people step on you. Kind of be, that's the lowly side. of the servants, like the doorman. He wiped your feet on it. Why you say that, brother? Well, listen to John chapter 13. Jesus gave the greatest example of what I'm talking about today. In John chapter 13, in verse 1, he said, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And suffering ended, his devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, verse 4, watch this now. He rising from the supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. There he clothed himself with the towel. That's the apron. And poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now watch Peter respond to that, to the King of Kings with a towel, girding himself as a servant. Peter said to him in verse 6, Peter said, "Here, Lord, does thou wash my feet?" Then Jesus answered and said, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Peter said, oh, Jesus, basically what he said, "Master, why are you doing this?" And Jesus said, "What I do, thou knowest not, but what thou shalt know the hereafter." He gave me to teach him a lesson. Peter said, "Thou shalt never wipe my feet." Well, Jesus said, okay. Then basically he's saying here, I'll never be that low of a servant. You'll never wipe my feet. You too much, you can never do that. I'm not going to let you do that. Because he used to being in a culture where the slaves in the house took care of the master. But Jesus answered and said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter said, "Hey, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." So Peter said, "What? If I can't be a part of the kingdom, you mean I can't be a Christian? I can't be a part of the discipleship? Do you know that applies to us? You can't have a part of Jesus if you don't understand what it is to be a servant." Jesus said to him, "He that washeth need not to save you to wash his feet, but it's clean everywhere. You're clean, but not all of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. You're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, he taken the garments and sat down. And when he sat down, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done for you? To you? You call me master and Lord, and say, well, so am I. But if I did, your master, if I'm the Lord, not you, right, I am. If I have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. So now, I have given you an example." Here it is. Jesus said, here's the example for every Christian. It's an example for those disciples that you should do as I have done to you. "Well, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he not greater than the heavenly sinner. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." And I'll probably bring this lesson similar to this again on the side of ministry to reinforce the importance of understanding that we have to be servants in the kingdom. We all are servants. And that's what we call servant leadership. Now, going back to the point this evening, though, if more people understood more people had attained humility in the church, you have more people serving. Humility must be clothed. You have clothed yourself. Those who are going to serve have clothed themselves with humility. And they're going to serve wherever they can. And they're going to do the best they can with whatever they have to do. You will always be okay with it. It may not be something I like to do. It may not be something that's my great job. I'm ready to learn to be. That's what we're hoping with the ministry they're going to do. That the men who want to be elders, want to be deacons, they can learn what the things that are required in those areas of leadership. So, Jesus said, I gave the example. What kind of example? What it is to be a servant in the kingdom. The attitude, as the former was talking about this morning, the attitude of the servant will be like Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 2:9, "Let this mind be in you." This is how I know. "Which was also in Christ." That was in the mind of Christ. He taught them that lesson before he went to the cross. Because he knew he would lead them back there as leadership. And each and every one of us brothers on the call who are leaders must have the mind of Christ and have that state of mind of servanthood and leadership. That way, we will never have big eyes and little ears. We will have no reverends and fathers. And we will have no lead brothers and lead. We are brothers. All of us brothers. That's something else we're going to change. We don't call or talk about. We have contacts, you know, contact person for the ministry. We're trying to focus on how do we show humility. How do we make sure everybody gets a chance to serve whatever area they want to serve in? These are the things that are coming. But here's the important thing that we need to understand. Paul said, Jesus left an example. Paul comes back to Philippians and said, this is what you need to be thinking. Notice what he said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as man, notice what he did. Here's what he did. He humbled himself. See that? And became obedient. Look how far he went. Unto death, even the death of the cross. He was in the garden, crying out to the Father, let this cup pass. Talk about that this morning, too. He had to drink the cup. It was a thorn. It wasn't going away. But he had to cope to a state of humble. He humbled himself. Became obedient even all the way to the cross. It took humility. Jesus was clothed with humility in his life. He had the proper attitude. Even when he was talking to the disciples, he was clothed with humility, and he was doing his Father's will, which is motivated by love. Two things that are going to get you in a ministry. Two things that are going to get you signed up. Two things that's going to cause you to serve is going to be love and humility. That's the attitude we were talking about this morning. What does the Lord require of us? In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, I won't be much longer. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, Micah, that's Old Testament, chapter 6 and verse 8 says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of me? What's required but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with my God. This is required. Attitude is everything when it comes to serving God. Everything. What type of attitude, brother? Attitude of a lowly servant. It requires one to be humble. Humility. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 4, whoever soever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus compared it to being a childlike mindset. Child, play with each other. Any man is going to play with each other. They say, the church members work together, they worship, they always will connect with each other. They will love each other because they dare to stand by of a child. So what Jesus said, we got to humble ourselves to get to heaven. And whosoever, Matthew 23:12, Jesus said, whosoever shall exalt himself and shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And then James comes back in James chapter 4. These are all the teachings of Christ through apostles. He taught them this. James said this, but he gave more grace, wherefore he said, God resisted the proud. Does this and give grace to the humble. Who's going to be sitting on the pews and not signing up for ministry? Those who have a lot of pride. Humble people are going to immediately look for their place to serve. Here's good news. God gives this grace to us. God is a God of second chances. All God wants from us is to humble ourselves. To resist being proud, admit our wrong, repent of our sin, and know. And as his son went to the cross with humility, that mind needs to be in us. Because God said, I will resist you if you have pride. And I'll give a grace to the humble. Who here on the call said, I always thought I was humble. If humility causes you to serve you, if you're not serving, you don't have the kind of humility, and you won't get the kind of grace that God says he's going to give. Now let's go back to the text. In 1 Peter, as I close, God resists the proud, and he gives his grace to the humble. Now, likewise, you servants, youngers, verse 5, submit yourselves to the elder, ye all, you be subject one to another, clothed, and God resists the proud, give grace to the humble. All of us, brothers and sisters, are subject to one another. We need each other in the church. Every body part on the body is important to the whole. It's kind of like a wheel. When you got a wheel, the integrity of the wheel is based on every spoke being in its place. If you take a bicycle wheel and you pull out one of the spokes, that whole wheel integrity has been compromised. What I mean that it's not going to hold the same level of strength because it takes every part to complete it. In the church, that as Paul talked about and we studied this morning, all of us is like a body part on the body, with Christ being the head. My fingers, my toes, all got a part to play, and all of us report back to the head. Now, all my fingers, they get information from the head, my feet get information from the head, and it responds to the head. So we're responding to Christ, and every part has a part to play. So when a person is a member of the Lord's church, but they're not engaged, that's like having a toe that's been cut off, or like having a finger that's not responding. And that's what Paul was teaching. But all of us are subject to each other. We need each other. This is important to the church. It's important to our life, but our life. It's important, especially with us trying to recover and come back after the flood and after the storm took us out for a year. And before that, it was a pandemic. But my primary time away was related to the building being flooded. But now we got to all come back together. We got to rebuild. We got to redo some things. And every member that's there that love our life should don't be there. They gonna have a state of mind that's of humility that we must work together. All hands are deck, as we've been saying. Why? Here's why. If we clothe with humility, we submit to one another, then we'll help each other. And we know this. If I don't help, God is resisting me because there's a level of pride there. Give it grace to the humble. If you want your grace, you gotta understand this lesson this season. God has put in place everything we need. He's given us everything we need. God has put in place leaders. He's put in place your ministers, your servants. All of us are there. But he's put everything in the church that's needed. And we all have to have this state of mind to be humble ourselves. And we all must be a part of the service and serving our King. In verse 6, he said, humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that they exalt you. See, there comes the lifting up. Humble yourself, therefore, he said, because God gives grace to the humble. You want the grace or the favor of God in your life, you got to humble yourself and be obedient to God. You want the grace or favor of God turned on you, turn your life over to him. And let his hand take care of you. Take the low position. Be as a servant of the Lord. Guess what? God will exalt you in due time. You don't have to walk around, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Y'all see what I'm doing? Ain't I doing a good job? You don't see all that. God is going to lift you up. He's going to say, as he did in Matthew 25:21, he said, the Lord said unto him, well done. That good, that's what we call it. Faithful servant. Remember, sisters, we're all servants. We should never get too proud to serve. But look what humble servants do. Verse 7, he said, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Whatever cares we have as humble servants of the Lord, we cast them, we throw them to the Lord because he cares for us. This must be why Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor, heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Verse 8, conclusion. Peter said, be sober, keep your mind right, keep your mind good, stay focused, be vigilant, be alert, stay awake, and watch. Why? The adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Proverbs 6, Solomon said, God One of the things that God hates is a proud look. Pride is nowhere in the mind of a Christian. And we got to understand the adversary will use what he knows that God will resist. He will resist pride. You don't want to ever be a brother. That you all you want is a title. You want to live. You won't care about a title. It's not about a title. It's not about being called this person. I'm this big man in the church. No. It's about being a servant. That's what we are. We are all brethren. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing in Matthew 23. He was killing hierarchy. He was killing and taking out men who want the positions of power and want their name to have this power. Jesus said, nah, no rabbi, no father. Just brother. Every true believer, every wonderful Christian, must understand this characteristic that comes with being a child of God. It's called humility. Those who are clothed with humility will be servants. Those who are clothed with humility will not have too much pride to serve. They don't care what they serve. They just want to serve. Those who have those with humility will have whatever it takes attitude. Will not have too much pride to admit their wrong. They always ask for forgiveness, and they can say, I'm sorry when they mess up. But humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Well, I got to do this. I'll tell you this. You can't get to heaven without doing it. God won't resist you. You got to humble yourself. It's not an option. It's something. Humility is not an option. Humility is a wonderful Christian characteristic that comes with the true believer who understands I have a master, and I am a servant, and I'll serve in my master's kingdom. We're talking about Jesus Christ. What a great master we have. One who's the Father, who so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. And then that Son, Jesus the Christ, came, and he demonstrated throughout his ministry. When they were spit on him, he didn't spit back. When they mocked him, he didn't mock. When they hit him, he didn't hit back. He didn't cuss him. He took the beating. He took everything. Why? Because that's what Paul said. That mind he had was that of a servant. And then after they beat him and mocked him before, he knew the thorn would be. He had to die on that cross. He knew it. And then he went to the cross and they drove the nails in his hands and feet. He could have called 10,000 angels to get him down off that cross. What kept him on that cross was the love for us and the mind that he had. What kind of mind did he have? Paul said in Philippians 2. So let this mind be in you, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now, Lord said, even the death on the cross. That's how I know he was on the cross. And what kept him on that cross was humility. And if we understand this, we understand that we'll carry our cross. It's going to keep us carrying it because we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Though he was a son, he was 5'8". Yet he learned obedience by the things which he saw and made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation, watch it, to all them that obey him. So is a humility an option? No, sir. We got to humble ourselves in order to make home heaven. I hope you enjoyed the lesson this evening. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you want to become a Christian, here's what you need to do. The only way you're going to get the grace I'll be talking about, the only way you're going to get the favor of God in your life is that you humble yourself, believing that his son, he loved you, believe that his son came, hung, bled, and died on the cross, shed his blood after suffering 6 long hours. He suffered the same. You got to believe that he suffered on the cross. You got to believe they took him down after he died and buried him in a borrowed tomb. You got to believe he resurrected with all power. If you believe that, then you'll believe the command he gave was for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what I've done to see this last 40 minutes is about the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus suffered, bled, and died for you. You have to believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. You got to make your decision. I can't keep living like I'm living. I want to come to the Lord. Humble yourself. Take humility to walk down the aisle to be baptized. Take humility to hit 5 stones and say, Y'all, I need to be baptized. I need the Lord in my life. I need the mighty hand of God on me at this time in my life. Then if you're willing to make the confession, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before me, we'll baptize you even today. No matter where you are on the listening audience, we'll get you to a church of Christ closest to you. Or you come, if you're on the call, you hit 5-star on the phone and let Brother Tim know that you want to be baptized. We'll make the arrangements for you no matter where you are. If you're in the Houston area, we'll take care of it. If you're with me, we'll take care of it. And if you're on the call this evening, you're a Christian, and you say, Brother Brooks, I haven't been serious. Maybe it's just not off yet. Maybe you need to work on humility. Maybe you need to start thinking about what I'm saying. Don't mess around and miss heaven. Don't mess around and miss heaven. Because you can miss heaven. Yeah. Sitting on the sideline watching and miss out on going to heaven. Amen. Don't do that. Don't you do that. If you're on the call this evening and you need prayer, we want you to pray for. We want to pray for you, pray with you. And we want to pray for those who need to make confession. Go ahead and make your confession with you too. And we'll pray for you as well. If you got something going on in your life, we'll pray for you. I too want to ask prayers for myself and for my children, especially with you right now dealing with serious illness. Please keep her in your prayer and keep me in your prayers as we go through this time in our family. We love you. May God bless you. And we turn the call over to the song leader. Hit 5-star on your phone at this time. Hit 5-star if you have a response to this message. And God give it grace to the humble.